you know you are capable of more, because you have a burning desire to get the absolute most out of your career and life, to starve your fears, to follow your dreams, and to realize your true potential. And we are going to do that together. This is the Own Your Career, Own Your Life podcast. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Own Your Career, Own Your Life podcast. I am your host, Andy Storch, and I'm excited that you're joining me on this journey to owning our careers, owning our lives, and owning our future. I started this podcast as a companion to the book I've been writing called Own Your Career, Own Your Life, which is all about helping you stop drifting, take control, own your future, and achieve your goals. And along the way, in March, I started doing these live interviews on LinkedIn with experts, thought leaders, people in my network. And I thought it would be a good idea to take the audio from those and put them on a podcast that would be helpful for people to listen to on demand who want to take ownership of their careers and deal with these crazy times under COVID-19. So today I'm sharing an interview that I did live on LinkedIn with my friend Carrie Twigg. And Carrie is a career coach and strategist. She helps people use stories to land work. And she's a top voice on LinkedIn. She's someone I've been following on LinkedIn for a couple years, and we never talked live until I invited her to this interview. And in this interview, we really hone in on not just owning your career, but really how to prepare for a future career change, what to be thinking about if you lose your job, if you get furloughed, or you're just thinking about changing careers, doing something differently, and especially how to deal with these crazy times under COVID-19. Now, without further ado, here is my live interview with Carrie Twigg. All right. I am live with the famous Carrie Twigg, who is a career transition coach, workshop facilitator, career expert, master of career stories and getting attention, and soon to be author as well. Not to mention a prolific content creator on LinkedIn. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Oh, so good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you on. We were just chatting before. I was saying, you know, we've been connected on LinkedIn for probably a year or two, following each other, supporting each other's content, comments here and there. I've always loved all the stuff that you put out there, both on career stuff. You do meditations. You do all kinds of things that I also love and am into. So it's great to finally talk to you live and in person. And I think it's cool that we get to share that with anybody else who wants to tune in.
Yeah, cool.
So before I want to get into, you know, talking about taking ownership of your career and especially how to kind of define your career and stand out in a marketplace we're in right now under coronavirus where, you know, unemployment rate's going up. It's probably a lot of people worried about their jobs. It's probably going to be harder to get a job in the near future without doing some things to stand out. So I want to get into that. Before we do, let's just start with a quick intro of, you know, who you are and what you do.
Oh man, so I'm Carrie. I'm like, you already know, but I'm Carrie Twigg. I have spent like the last 20 years of my life helping people figure out their stories and then how to share it confidently, mostly like before that as a drama teacher. And I loved being a drama teacher and helping people to, you know, figure out that to be a character, they could just have to find who they are in order to embrace this other character. But I was a bit limited and like, I just didn't want to train actors that I felt like this stuff could be useful in careers. So about 7 years ago, I transitioned to just how to use theater and stories in career development, did like an HR certificate. And I just combined them, right? And I think that's probably like the best, we can get into it, but the best advice I have is right now, is there any combination of things that you could bring? Because if you do, you're going to bring this like something that no one has seen before. And that's what's going to get you hired and noticed, whether you're looking to land with a company or if you're thinking about, working for yourself.
Right. Can you give me a couple examples? I mean, I know you talk to a lot of people, work with a lot of people, like some examples of things that people have combined to really create that unique value proposition.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? I was working with a woman and she, it's kind of too bad because not like in the situation, it feels weird, but she loved, she loved Italy. So it's a bad example, but when Italy wasn't a terrible place going through.
Back when Italy was cool.
Yeah. Well, Italy's still cool. They're just,
it's still cool.
It's struggling, right?
I hear you. Yeah.
So she really loved Italian cooking, but she also was like an HR person. So she experienced job loss, and she made the combination of being a part-time consultant here and then working in Italy for her husband's company for about 4 months of the year. So made this cool, like, I think a cool transition of taking what she loved and making it. There's another woman that did that, but with Italian cooking. So she started to make these like full Italian meals in people's houses. So like, that's cool where you take your interests. Another woman who loved, she was a pharmacist and she loved the step-by-step process of being a pharmacist, but she just took that and brought and was training bakeries how they could systemize their like and make the way that they do their baking follow standards, but also like be more efficient. And so she became this like bakery trainer, but she was a pharmacist.
That's cool. And I like the Italian cooking angle, you know, things to kind of set yourself apart, you know, really like give your personality some flair. Although I was thinking when you were saying that you were going to say that she was, you know, making these wonderful Italian dishes and then bringing them with her to job interviews.
Oh, kind of like
that would really set you apart.
No, but it would. It absolutely would.
So what are you, you know, your career transition coach, you work with a lot of people. Do most of the people you work with, are they in jobs and thinking about doing something different? So the early preparation period, or are they in like crisis mode? I just lost my job and I need to figure out what to do.
Yeah, both. So, but I prefer to work with the pre-planners. That's not fair. I like people in bad situations as well. I'm a fixer and a helper, so I don't mind it. So most people who hire me, so pay for me themselves, have full-time jobs, and they either want to show up at those jobs in a way where they feel more confident, or they're thinking about making a move and they want to, and they know the move is like 6 months to a year out, or a company hires me. Like right now, most of my business is individual companies hiring me. Because they are laying off their staff and they want to offer them career transition services. So I get like, so I meet those people and it's often the day that they experience a job loss. Like this morning I was at a meeting. They had a Zoom call with someone. They let them know that they lost their job. And then I came on and was like, surprise. You never want it to be a surprise. But then I was there and said, you know, I'm sorry this happened. We're meeting under bad circumstances, but I'm going to be your coach, right? And let's have a conversation. That person left. So I do that as well.
Okay. I'm curious about that conversation. I guess I'm lucky that I haven't been in that situation. I mean, I've certainly had plenty of jobs that I didn't do very well at, but I haven't been in that exact situation where I've been laid off and then had to figure out what to do next. What is that conversation like? And what's the mix of people that are like, I've been preparing for this and building my network versus like, oh my God, I'm in shock. I have no idea what I'm going to do.
Most people are in shock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like most people did not. It's sad because I don't think it should be a surprise to anyone. Right.
Right.
I think like right now it's more of a, like everyone's surprised. Or maybe not surprised, but they weren't counting on it. Because if we weren't in the situation we are in, even the HR people are saying we would keep them. They're awesome. We can't afford to.
You just can't right now.
Yeah. Before this, they were a little bit, it's hard. It's why they need the services, but they are just out of touch with how they're behaving at work, how their work is perceived. Not taking the guidance that was given. And then the company has to say like, we can't have you anymore.
Right. It's almost toxic. And do you get involved at all in kind of translating that feedback to say like, hey, they told me that this is going on and you might want to work on improving this for your next job interview, or is that more between them and the company?
You're like, you've never experienced job loss. The thing that people remember when they experience job loss is like what is said at that meeting, like the way that they're told, right? The words that the manager says, any feedback. So if a manager kind of says, and this is why, that person will emotionally hold on to it forever. So they usually don't, they usually don't get it, and it's going to make it harder for them to heal. And yeah, so sometimes I'll get into it. Sometimes I don't. It kind of, like, it might, I'm aware of it as a coach. So when it pops up in other ways, like how they're behaving at an interview or how they're introducing themselves, then I can coach them through it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's rough time to be criticized.
I'm sure, even though, like, and I have a hard time with feedback anytime, even though it's how we improve, right? We need that sometimes. Yeah. Like when we came on earlier, you said your shirt's not pink enough and I had to go change. I had a red shirt on and you told me it was pink. It was pink day, so I changed my shirt.
You wear a pink shirt.
So I've got a few more questions. We also have some people watching us live. If you are watching live, drop a comment in the chat. Let us know where you're watching from. Let us know if you have any questions for Carrie about career transitions, preparing for your next role, preparing for a future career change. I've spoke about that and written about that, but I know you are the master in this space. So let me put myself in that situation. You know, I've just been laid off and I'm a little bit in shock. I got to figure out what to do next. What's the first two or three things I need to do? What advice do you give people who are dealing with that?
Like at that meeting, like we just met?
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting past the shock and now it's, I mean, I'm the type of person that's like, okay, well, I've got to do something. I got to move on. So like, let's figure out what to do next.
Yeah. So my first advice is always be kind to yourself. Cause if you start being mean to yourself and start doubting, you're going to like, this is going to be horrible. Feel the feels, really normal. It's like the change cycle. So really normal to feel sad, glad, mad, and a little bit scared. Feel the feels, the kind of the quicker you process the feelings, the quicker you're going to deal with them and they're not going to pop up in an ugly way. Let's figure out your want to work date and your need to work date. So maybe you want to work in like a week, but we also need to know the date when you start running out of money, because those dates are going to change our strategy, right? Mm. We have a lot of luxury. If you're like have to work, your need to work date is 6 months, then, you know, you can spend 2 or 3 months really going for that dream job where you're not, you know, budging on anything. If you need to land in 2 weeks and you have no income, you're going to change the way that you job search. Like you're going to be less romantic about it. So those are like, let's figure out your money, be kind to yourself. And then in terms of coaching, the first thing I have people do is I go, like, let's just figure out what your career story is. And I start, like, I always start there with the stories.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. So that probably is a nice transition to the other side of the coin. The other question I wanted to ask, which is, let's say I'm someone that is either unhappy in my job or I suspect something's going to drop soon, right? That like something, I'm in an industry, I work for an airline and they're going to be laying people off and I'm probably on that list. So I don't want to wait for that to happen. I want to start preparing now. So what sort of things should I be doing? We be doing now to prepare for that future career change? Cause either whether I want to do it voluntarily or it may eventually be forced in the next few months.
Yeah. So I started with stories. Like that's where I start. Yeah.
Yeah. So start with your career story, which is understand, is the career story the whole past, where I came from, what I've done, what I've accomplished, that sort of thing?
Nah, I only care about what you enjoy doing, what you've accomplished in your career. So I'll say, like, starting today and for the next 7 days, write out a story about something that you love. So a day you went to work and you felt like alive. you and it could be big and it could be small. But just write those out. And then I usually say like on index cards. So like crown index card, write out your story. After 7 to 10 days, look at all those stories and identify what skill you used in it. So like, do you have a career? Like, do you have a happy day story?
A happy day story.
Tell me
one more time about this.
Yeah. So like a day and it can that you have worked where like at the end of the day, you're like, yes, like it doesn't matter what I got paid or didn't, like I made a difference. Like,
yeah.
To have a day Like, can you think of a day like that?
Yeah, I like to think I have quite a few of those. It involves a lot of social interaction. I'm an extrovert, and I'm on, even though I work from home, I'm used to social distancing physically. I'm on Zoom all day. I do a lot of podcast interviews, connect with a lot of people. I'm in sales, selling training development. So I connect with clients and have great conversations and feel like I can help them. I do some coaching. If I feel like I'm making connections and really helping people, then I'm going to finish the day feeling really good.
Cool. Can you think of a specific day, like a specific example of when that?
Wow. I don't know if I can think of a specific day. I mean, yesterday was a very good day. Monday was a very good day because I had a lot of really great conversations. I am also kind of a big picture thinker. I like to think about where everything's going in the future with my business. And I had some really good client conversations on Monday. I also just hired a new assistant and she is awesome. Her name's Stephanie. And we had a good conversation on Monday and she's helping me a lot. And she says that she's learning a lot from me, which makes me feel really good and fulfilled. And so that's been a really good relationship that's been filling me up this week as well.
Beautiful. Okay. Yeah. So I did, my clients can't be general. tell me a specific. Right. Which is why, me just popping it when you weren't ready. Is it really fair? But if the Stephanie one, her name's Stephanie, right?
Yes.
So if that is your hat, like if you're like, I hired this incredible person, she's feeling good, we're connecting. Yep. I know this is going to help my business. I know it's also going to help her. That feels great. Then you would write that on one card, right?
Okay.
And then the next day you think of another time that you were happy and it might be from 10 years ago, might be from a volunteer experience when you're like, oh yeah, I loved, how I helped that kid tie his skate laces, at ice camp. So you write all those stories and then you figure out what skill you use. So in the Stephanie story, what skills were you using?
A little bit of teaching, right? Which is nice.
Yeah.
A little bit of coaching, a little bit of being coached. She's already doing that for me, which is really nice.
Yeah. So being open to feedback.
Oh, yeah.
She said you're not good at, so that's interesting. Okay.
I didn't say I wasn't good at it. I just said I didn't like it. She hasn't given me any constructive feedback yet. Okay. We'll see.
Oh, you took praise with
I took praise.